Get ready for some things to dramatically change in this economy. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris. Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. Our goal with this show is to make you a more intelligent investor. And there's a couple of big things that the government is about to do as we head into the election cycle. Now, you know that, of course, the deep state, the deep permanent government wants Joe Biden, wants this administration to stay in power because they can control everything that he does. That's what they do. Make no mistake about it. The permanent government is what runs the show. And the permanent government, the unelected officials that run the Federal Reserve, they are about to pump another round of massive spending into the economy, known as quantitative easing, QE. When they print more money, they can ease inflation, rates can go down, and they do all of this, of course, ahead of the 2024 election. This calms markets, makes Wall Street very happy. Again, they're all in cahoots. But as an investor, if I'm in the stock market, I'm very concerned about all of this fake money. That means that these stocks are artificially lifted up because these companies buy back their shares. That's all fake money in the stock market. Where I really want to put my money and make sure that as these rates go down for real estate, that I'm buying actual real estate, actual physical assets, which are a hedge against inflation, which of course produce the tax flow, the tax haven that I want for my assets. Protect my money so that I'm not paying Uncle Sam. You know, if I'm putting out, if I can take $50,000 and instead of sending that to the federal government, I can put that as a down payment on a new rental property, use the bank's money to buy it through financing, and then I get that $50,000 back through my taxes because I've done a cost segregation analysis. That's more high level. But at the end of the day, that's what I want to be buying. I want to be buying actual physical assets, tangible assets that will be a hedge against inflation, that will produce cash flow, which will enable me to grow my net worth. So we're going to see what's in this economy is going to unfold over the next few weeks, because the Federal Reserve, whether or not they raise rates again or they lower rates, you're going to see the pieces put in place because of the election in the 2024 election cycle. So they are not going to allow things to run too crazy as we head into 2024. They are going to be continuing to print money. They're going to be throwing more money at Wall Street. And then you're going to see inflation, which we've already seen come down from 9% down into 7% range, and it's going to drop even further. This will make President Biden look good. It's going to make his advisors coming out at the podium and making press conferences and talking about how things have gotten better. And they'll tell you to ignore the energy crisis that we're currently in, right? The price per kilowatt hour is still surging for electricity. Natural gas prices are at an all-time high. Oil prices are still very high. Gas prices have come down a little bit. We have no uranium production in the United States. So we have an energy crisis, but ignore that, because now interest rates are dropping. Inflation is going down. You don't have to feel it as badly anymore. Now, let me explain to you what's about to happen in the housing sector. So just put on your hat for a second. Now, I've been in the real estate business for many, many years. And this year we are building close to 500 properties. And when we project these things, we're projecting out 18 months. So as our builders in our different markets are already building, we know we already can plan for what's coming. And what's coming is that when these interest rates come down, there's incredible pent-up demand for housing right now. Okay. We need housing in a big, big way. We're about 4 million units short in the United States. And those millennials that couldn't afford, okay, to buy a property because interest rates went up a little bit. So these millennials who are kind of right there at 4% interest rates, they're like, maybe I could buy it, maybe I can't, depending, you know, my monthly take-home pay. Now it goes up to 5%, 6%. Now they're priced out of the market. And then what happened was baby boomers bought those properties. And millennials are back renting again. Millennials are like, I'm just going to wait for these rates to come back down. I can't afford the house at a higher interest rate. So I'm going to wait. So you have so many first-time homebuyers right now who are sitting and waiting. Builders are continuing to build because there's incredible demand. So what's about to happen is that once those interest rates drop a little bit, guys, all hell is going to break loose. And you're going to see bidding wars again for properties. You're going to see we already have this pent-up demand. It's going to explode, okay? Mark my words, that's about to happen. So in the next year or so, you're going to see bidding wars again, and prices going up. Right now, prices are nice and flat in the real estate market. So this was like the unbelievable perfect time to be able to get into the real estate market right now. While interest rates are still a little high, but prices are flat and you're getting in ahead of all of these bidding wars and prices are about to go up. So I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen over the next 12, 15, 16 months as we head into the election cycle. I've been around Washington way too long, and I know how these guys operate. And all you need to do is watch what the Fed is already saying, and you're going to see this major change. So that's what's coming down the pike in 2023 and into 2024, guys. Are you prepared? Have you made those plans to start pulling money out of the stock market, out of the fake money stock market, and putting it into real assets? I hope so. We'll have links in the description below if you'd like to book a call with our team. We'd be happy to help you and talk you through that process at Morris Invest. Now, on today's episode, we have a number of phone calls from you guys. You're able to leave me a voicemail question, ask me any real estate related questions that you'd like. You just go to our website and there's a little microphone icon on the right-hand side of the screen. Just go to morrisinvest.com, click on the little microphone icon, and you can leave us a 30-second voicemail question about real estate or taxes or whatever else is on your mind. And we will attempt to answer it here on the show. Here's our first question. I believe this one comes to us from Sean.
Hey, Clayton. This is Sean from California. Appreciate both of your shows. You're doing a fantastic job, man. God bless you. I recently heard the housing market dropping 30% in 2023. Now, what's your take on that? And also, the second part of my question is, currently, I only have a primary residence valued at $1.1 million, and I owe on it $730,000. I would love to secure that leverage from a HELOC, but not sure what to do with it. Should I use the 5 to 7 year method to pay your mortgage because the market's somehow unstable, unpredictable? Or should I buy a second rental property in the market right now with the prices and just get into it, which scares me that if a lot of inflation, a lot of layoffs, my tenants, I'm not going to be able to pay. Or should I wait for that drop down, take the money out from the HELOC, wait for that 30% drop down, and then buy property at cheaper price then? And last thing is, some of the mortgage companies that I was talking to, they told me that if I take a HELOC and then I lose all the equity in the house, regardless if it's 10 or 20 years, then the money will be immediately due to the bank. Is that true? Is it normal? Again, thank you so much for your fantastic work, man. God bless you, your family. Merry Christmas to you all and to all the listeners. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much. Very kind of you to say. So let's unpack a couple of those questions. First of all, on the housing market, I think I just kind of laid out what I see coming in the housing market. Okay, so 30% price declines, whatever, that's great. The reason that that's the case is because of inflation, right? And interest rates going up. But there's incredible demand. So you have all the, what that forced was people to go into renting, right? So those first-time home buyers, those millennials that couldn't afford to buy the home, maybe that little bit of an interest rate bump pushed them out of the market, okay? So now they're pushed into renting. You always need a place to live, right? You're either going to buy it or you're going to rent it, okay? So we have a housing shortage across the United States. Now, let me just explain. When you look at the housing market as a whole, like when you say, okay, in California or wherever else you're dealing with these bubble markets and these other problem markets, there's no such thing as one housing market. So like in the markets where we at Morris Invest and our team are building our properties, we're in Lubbock, Texas, right? We're in Odessa, Midland, right? Abilene. We're in Joplin, Missouri, okay? We're in these markets for a reason, because the incredible demand, and they're highly insulated. For instance, Lubbock, Texas was labeled as recession-proof by CNBC, right? Why? Because it's almost like nothing ever happened there. Like, because of you have the university system, you have, I mean, all of the thousands of people that are coming there to go to school, and the jobs, and the healthcare industry, and the automotive industry, and the oil industry. This is an area that was like, oh, you're talking about a recession? Not in our town. And that's because those are the areas we look at the growth. Like, we're ahead of that by 2 years. So when we're looking at, for instance, Joplin, Missouri, or those other areas, we're seeing there is literally no competition. No one is building in those areas, and the demand for rentals is off the charts. Let me just give you an example. In the first few weeks of this year, the lease ups, meaning people filling out rental applications and then moving into these properties, was up. I mean, out of the 50 units that we had available, the first 42 were gone in like a week. I mean, that's how fast these are renting right now. So you will always need a place to live, but it's about the markets. It's about investing in the right markets, Sean. It's not about investing in California or some crazy areas where they're going to have bubble problems, you know, like Vegas or other spots. I stay away from those things. I like boring. I like slow and steady, excellent growth. And that's where we are in our markets. So that's what you should be investing in, those types of markets, okay? And our team can help you, Sean, if you're interested in that. Again, book a call with our team and we can walk you through that and explain our process a little bit. So that's where I put my money. I buy in those towns where we're in the best school districts, where there's low crime, high job growth, and recession resistant or recession proof. Then you don't have to worry about that. So if we see inflation, again, I see inflation coming down. It's already dropping about 2 points. And I think, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the amount of money that they're going to print and push into this market is going to continue to lower rates. So you're going to see a huge demand for properties and you're going to see a huge rush and you're going to see bidding wars again. It's going to be crazy again. So again, remember, there's still that pent up demand, supply and demand. We don't have enough supply, but we have an abundance of demand right now. So just remember that as we head into 2023 and 2024. As far as a home equity line of credit, as you know, Sean, I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you how to spend your money, but I personally have done both strategies where I've gotten a home equity line of credit on that equity. I've bought rental properties because remember, it's time in the market, not timing the market. So I heard a lot of you talking in that comment there where you're talking about timing the market. Well, maybe the interest rates are this or the price. No. The amount of time you're in the market is the most important, right? So if you wait a year, that's a year you've lost to get into the market. And then you can always adjust interest rates later with different financial products. Like if you have 2 points higher and it goes 2 points lower, you can always refinance later. Don't worry about that. What you want to worry about is being in the market, timing it. Time in the market. So you're actually getting the cash flow and you're building up your net worth because now your tenant is paying down and giving you equity. And that's how, and plus you're getting the tax benefits of all of this by investing. So again, I would be taking some of that HELOC money, splitting it up. Because if you've got $500,000 or $400,000 in equity, you could use like $200,000 of that. And that's like four down payments. You could literally own like four rental properties, cash flowing as a tax shelter against inflation right now. And then use the other equity to pay down your home equity line, use the home equity line to pay down your main mortgage. So you could use both of those strategies. We write about that in our book, Sean, where we do that simultaneously. We both bought properties with our home equity line of credit and paid down our primary mortgage using our Ninja tool system that we talk about in the book. So again, good luck to you. I think that you're on the right path and I'm happy to help you in any way that we can. Thanks so much. All right, our next question.
Hi, Clinton. My name is Aram. I'm new to real estate investment, and I bought a property in different state and needed renovation, and I'm really getting hard time to find a contractor. Do I need to take care of it by myself, or I need to hire a first management company so they can take care of it, so I don't have to go back and forth to the other state to take care of that renovation? Thank you.
Thank you. And I hate to make examples out of our viewers, our listeners, because again, but Aram speaks to a point which I try to teach you here on this show. If you're going to take on like a fix and flip project yourself out of state, like that's what my team does full time. Why would you, first of all, we're building new construction because to rehab homes right now, you just do not get the tax benefits. You just don't. Like if you want to get like a cost segregation tax benefit and get almost your entire deposit back on your taxes, why would you renovate a house? Like you're just not going to do it. Like, so new construction is where it's at from a tax benefit perspective, especially as prices have moderated and rents are there and like the cash flow will come over the next year or two as we get different rates and the economy improves a little bit. Right now, it's about taxes. It's about saving on taxes. So when you build a new construction property from the ground up, Aram, that would have been my suggestion, buying the land and building it from the ground up, working with a home builder that can handle all of that yourself. And then you're doling out that money in construction loans. So 30%, 30%, 30% as the property is being built. Then you're getting, of course, the full tax benefits through a cost segregation. You get all of that money back in that initial deposit round. And so don't get me started on that. We'll have a whole series on cost segregation that you guys need to pay attention to. But yes, I mean, you're going to have to find a good contractor, and contractors are hard to come by right now because, they're busy with a lot of projects. And so I hate to say it, but I would have really made sure that you had this lined up ahead of time and really got your quotes in line. You knew what you could do before you pulled the trigger on this investment property. Working with a property management company, property management companies sometimes will have their own in-house maintenance team, but they don't usually have a whole construction team, okay? They'll fix toilets and things like that, but property managers are not going to have full construction teams. So what I would recommend is just doing, you're going to have to go out there because you've chosen now to do this on your own. You're going to have to go and manage this yourself. And this is what I try to teach our audience here. Like if you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're a dentist, you've got a full-time job. Do you want to create another full-time job for yourself? You don't. And you're hearing now in Aram what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to go. I made this mistake a number of years ago in New Jersey. Okay. I would never invest in New Jersey ever again, but I did it as like an experiment. I did it to kind of show you guys what I was experiencing. I went through this process. It was a disaster. And I had to go manage it all myself. I had to meet with multiple contractors. I had to manage the construction on each of these properties myself. I don't want to be doing that. I want our team to be able to handle that. I want our construction to be done from the ground up, and I don't have to deal with any of this stuff. So you're going to probably have to go there. I would recommend that you line up about 3 or 4 different contractors and have them come to the house that day. This is what I did. So say at 8 a.m., okay, first round of contractors, can you come meet me at the house at 8 a.m.? And then line up and interview the next round of contractors to come at 10 a.m. and the next one at lunchtime. And you tell them, we've had a number of contractors here throughout the day. We're sort of getting, I'm getting a sense of what you guys can do on the project and sort of going to, you know, I'd love for you to bid the project and tell me what you're going to pay, what you would charge to do X, Y, and Z on this house. And then you kind of compare what they say. So that's what I did. I didn't take the cheapest and I didn't take the most expensive. I took the guy in the middle and he ended up doing a great job for me. So I would say you probably go spend a few days there. Get on Craigslist, talk to local builders, find out who can come and meet you, find out the best construction companies in the area, look on Angie's List or otherwise and find out who's the best, you know, contractors in those areas. Try to book them to meet you. You're flying in, you're going to meet with them and schedule those times throughout the day and get that project moving. You need it, you know, the bottom line is you want that thing to be performing and right now it's going to be a pain in your butt right now. So I would definitely get that thing moving. And the best way is for you to put boots on the ground, go there and do it yourself. Again, I hate to be a cautionary tale kind of guy, but that's what you have to deal with if you're going to try to manage this and do a rehab project. So that's why I stopped doing rehab projects maybe like 5 years ago now. We don't do renovations anymore. We do brand new construction from the ground up. That way we control the whole process. We don't have to deal with this craziness anymore. All right, our next question.
Good morning, Clayton. It's Don Elliott once more. I was calling just to find out your opinion on DSCR loans, if they're really worth it for the real estate investor and the terms of these loans. Just want your opinion. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Don, for that question on DSCR loans. So if you're not familiar with a DSCR loan, it's simply a debt service coverage ratio loan. It basically means it's similar to a non-recourse loan. Basically, that's what it is, where they're not looking at your personal, you know, your personal income. They're not worried about your ability to repay the loan. They're looking at the property's ability to repay the loan based on the cash flow of the property. So let's say, for instance, you need a loan of $50,000. The cash flow of the property is about $50,000, but the debt burden every year that you'll pay is about $40,000. So they'll usually look for a ratio of about 1 to 1.25% on one of these properties. So that means that, okay, the cash flow of this rental property will bring in about $50,000 a month or $50,000 a year. But I owe every year to the mortgage company $40,000. That's 1.25%, right? That's the spread. So that means as long as it's cash flowing, then the bank is making their money. They're going to look for a minimum of about 1 to 1.25% to make sure that their asset is covered and the cash flow is covering that note. You're going to pay a little bit higher interest rates, usually 1, 2% higher. And not every bank is going to do this, Don. So it really just comes down to talking to your mortgage lenders and tell them about, you know, do you guys accept DSCR loans on rental properties? Because you might want to refinance out of it. You're still going to have to put about 20, 25% down to get the best rates. They're not going to look at your personal income. So they're not necessarily going to care about you personally. This is an opportunity, though, for people that want to get more properties outside of their own personal name. So, you know, you don't want to have a W. It's not based on your W-2. It's not based on your own tax returns. You're going to, you know, setting up an entity, an LLC, et cetera. And then they're going to be basing it on the asset itself. So, you know, it's really, you have to be able to prove to the bank that A, through an appraiser, they're going to do an appraisal on the property. They're going to confirm the cash flow, of course, of the property. All of these things need to be confirmed with the bank before you can even get there. So I've heard of different companies who will do this where you can submit applications, like Home Abroad is one of them. There's a couple of other ones when you can submit applications. Again, Don, to me, it's always about finding the best financial vehicle for you, right? So Don, I know you own, you know, a lot of rental properties. So does it make sense? Do the numbers make sense for you to go through a closing cost process with these guys? Do the overall numbers make sense for you to switch a loan or refinance out of the current product that you're in? And if you want to get more than that 10 that's allotted under the federal guidelines, this might be an option for you. This is why we always talk about non-recourse financing in our office for investors, because if they're at that 10 property threshold, then they can't get any more traditional financing. It's an opportunity for them to get a non-recourse loan in order to be able to, you know, to be able to exceed that 10 property threshold. So, you know, I think it's a great opportunity. DSCR loans are great if you can find them. And if it makes sense for you, I'd love to know your feedback on that, Don, like what you found with some of the different banks that are offering those loans right now. So banks are needing to get creative, because obviously given they went crazy with refinancing over the past year. Now they're not doing refinancing applications because no one wants to refinance in this higher interest rate environment. So they're having to get creative, and they're having to work with investors. They're having to come up with solutions. They want the business. So this is an opportunity, Don, for you to negotiate with these guys and say, hey, you know, here's these five investment properties I have. Here's what I'm currently paying. Can you guys maybe bundle this into a DSCR loan so that I can adapt? You can add that additional traditional finance properties under your own name again. So not quite sure what the situation and why you're considering this type of loan, but I'd love to hear your feedback on that. Thank you so much, Don. And thanks to all of you for asking such great questions. Again, go to morrisinvest.com, morrisinvest.com. You can book a free call with our team if you'd like to buy a brand new construction rental property with a minimum internal rate of return between 18 and 22%. That's not even counting the tax benefits, which will push you over 35 to 40% internal rate of return when you consider a cost segregation analysis. No one can even touch us for what we're doing with new construction, managed by a great property management team, cash flowing in some of the best rental markets in the United States. Book a call with our team. You can also click the microphone icon on the lower right-hand side of your screen if you'd like to leave us a 30 to 40 second voicemail question. We will attempt to answer it here on the show. Much love to all of you. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.